Aeroplanes might be getting much more passenger-friendly, but it looks as though the destination of choice for this century is going to be space. So make your reservations now, because more than 700 people, including reportedly astrophysicist Stephen Hawking, are waiting to gain official status as space cowboys, each forking out $250,000 to hop aboard Virgin Galactic's Spaceship 2. Spaceship 2 is a jet-powered aircraft, and it's set to take 6 passengers at a time to the outer boundaries of the Earth's atmosphere. The spaceship wouldn't have been possible, though, without the help of the X Prize, which was a not-for-profit organisation that awards money to radical ideas that will bring about breakthroughs for the benefit of humanity. 10 years ago this month, Spaceship One won the $10 million Ansari X Prize, and Virgin Galactic have since been developing it to form Spaceship Two. With us from St. Louis is Greg Marinac, who is the founder and also one of the directors of the X Prize Foundation. Hello, Greg.
Hello, Chris.
First of all, tell us a little bit about, because I understand Richard Branson showed you around Spaceship Two recently. What's it like? Paint a picture for us.
Well, it's really huge. Spaceship One, which won the Ansari X Prize, is the size of a 4-person light plane that you'd find at, you know, an airport any place in the world. Spaceship Two is quite a bit larger. Whereas Spaceship One could fly you and me and one other person to 100 kilometers altitude, if we're flying on Spaceship Two, we have 2 pilots, and 6 people can fly in the back, and they can unstrap and float around in zero gravity for about 5 minutes during a flight. So it's a radically larger aircraft.
So the bottom line is you take off strapped into your seat on Spaceship Two, but it's on the back of a bigger vehicle, an aeroplane, which gets you airborne in the first place. And then how does it get into space?
It hangs actually below the carrier aircraft, which has 2 fuselages. So some of your friends might get to see you off from altitude. And it drops away from the carrier plane after about an hour's flight to get to launch altitude. And it ignites its rocket engine, which is essentially powered by the same material that you have in the tires of your car, made to burn very rapidly using an exotic oxidizer that is usually called laughing gas, nitrous oxide. And the nitrous makes the rubber, the synthetic rubber, burn very rapidly. And that provides the thrust to accelerate you to the speed required to get you to 100 kilometers, which is the so-called Kármán line, the line above which everyone agrees you're in space.
How are the people recovered from space? They have their 6 minutes of floating around. They presumably are not going to redock with the aircraft that got them halfway there in the first place. They've got to get down to the ground. How do you recover Spaceship Two?
Spaceship Two glides to a landing on the surface of the Earth. So it is an unpowered glider, and it will land at places like Mojave, where it's been landing for its test flights, and also at a brand new spaceport in New Mexico, in the vicinity of White Sands Missile Range in New Mexico, south of Albuquerque.
Tell us about the danger side of this. What will happen to the people if something goes wrong? And is there a chance that something's going to go wrong?
These people are subjecting themselves to something that is more dangerous than driving around in cars, probably more dangerous than flying themselves around in light aircraft, probably less dangerous than scaling tall mountains. But it is not a risk-free activity. And, you know, these people will be real pioneers and in my book, heroes. They'll be doing the same exact thing that folks like Alan Shepard and Gus Grissom did in 1961, the year that humans first went into space. And since then, less than 600 people have flown to space. So the 700 folks who have made deposits to fly on Spaceship Two, you know, will double the population of human beings that have had the opportunity to see the Earth from space. And they're going to do something else. The reason that we did the X Prize was not so rich white people could fly in space, although they will. It's so that we can have a completely different financial basis for doing spaceflight and open up space for lots of useful purposes for all of us on Earth. The economic problem with spaceflight is there's not enough of it. In a really great year, there are maybe 15 or 20 commercial satellites for the entire world that need to be launched. So if there were only 15 or 20 airplane takeoffs in a year. None of us could afford to fly. And we, back 15, 16 years ago, were thinking, what's the perfect ideal commercial payload of the future that will require thousands of takeoffs and landings, maybe even a week? And we realized it's us, people, self-replicating carbon-based payloads that you can make using common things you find around the house.
So is your view then that the idea of pushing forward and making this a tourist thing is that the money will follow the people, this will open up new opportunities?
Oh, there absolutely. There are many. There's not any one specific one, although there are some huge ones. The problem is the cost of getting even just our tools in the space right now is about 4,000 pounds a kilogram. So it's really expensive. We've got to get those costs down, and the way to do it is to do more of it. And that's what space tourism will be. It'll be a stepping stone to a large array of future opportunities. And we're already seeing it as a result of our XPRIZE. There are now some reusable space vehicles that have flown literally hundreds of times to take scientific payloads up and back, whereas the normal rocket used for that purpose flies once or statistically a little bit less than once because they're not all successful.
Will you be getting a ticket?
I hope so. I won't get one when the price is what it is today. It's a bit expensive for my taste, but many of the various providers that are in this area have said that their initial fee will come down considerably, maybe as much as a factor of 4 or 5. So when the cost of making a once-in-a-lifetime trip to space to see the Earth from space is about the cost of getting a mid-range new car, I think there will be many people that will do it. And in fact, the studies indicate that you can maximize your profit as a business entity if the cost is somewhere in the vicinity of about 12,000 pounds.
There's an interview in the Daily Telegraph, one of the British broadsheets, this weekend with a Chinese businessman who's just bought one of the tickets. And he, appropriately enough, is called in Chinese the equivalent of Skywalker.
That's lovely. Well, how nice is that? So hopefully he won't have to do any walking at all during his flight. Maybe floating would be a better name for him, Sky Floater.
Greg Marinac from the XPRIZE. And thank you to our other guests this week, Ian Goodfellow, Colin Sirott, and also Mirko Kovac.